Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members.
Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Enviro Heating and Air, serving all brands of HVAC systems in Sonoma County and Marin County. And Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin for over 60 years. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' 112-108 loss to the Rockets in Game 4. The series now tied at 2 games apiece. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. At TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, not only do you get to play where the pros play, but you also get to play where Warriors play, like Klay Thompson, who hosted a tournament at TPC Harding Park over the summer.
Thompson Family Foundation Golf Tournament, that was so much fun. Shout out to TPC Harding Park for hosting us. I played great too, so that always helps. Just a fun day on the course for a great cause.
Well, Ray, for me, it's pretty simple how the Warriors lost Game 4 to the Rockets, 112-108. I'm going to point to one thing, and I know there are going to be a bunch of things we'll talk about, but I'm going to point to one thing that cost them the game. Easy layups that they missed. I mean, there had to be at least a dozen layups that the Warriors did not make, and if they had made just a few of those, they would have won the game. It's that simple for me.
Well, yeah, I mean, and they didn't shoot well from three, and Houston killed them from the three-point line and defended the three-point line well, but even discounting that, yeah, they make some layups, and not all of them were a low degree of difficulty. There were some tough ones in there, but you don't expect to see them miss that many layups. They did, and that was definitely a part of the game. I'll give you one other word, hustle. They were out-hustled once again by the Rockets. The 50-50 balls were really 70-30 or 80-20 balls in favor of the Rockets. They were getting the loose balls, and they were getting the offensive rebounds once again. And I'll give you a player that was a difference for the Rockets, P.J. Tucker. And, yeah, I think we were doing these podcasts a couple of years ago when the season started, and I mentioned P.J. Tucker was a great pickup for the Rockets because they were a little weak defensively. He gave them some defensive intensity, along with Trevor Ariza. And he has really played well in the last 2 games in Houston. He has been a real problem for the Warriors, and you look at it, and that there are times where they run their small lineup out there, and the biggest guy is about 6'8", and the Warriors can't handle them because they're out being out hustled. They're playing not as physical as the Rockets are, and again, you see the Rockets getting the loose balls, getting the second chances, and that part killed them in Game 4 as well. And I heard Draymond Green saying post game that they knew it's going to be a fight. And he sort of said, sort of like the Warriors were being nonchalant, okay, we'll box you. And so that tells me they have an intellectual understanding that it's going to be a fight, but they don't feel it emotionally until it's too late. And, yeah, they held the Rockets to 6 points, I think, in the last 5 minutes, and they closed furiously and had a chance to tie it at the end with a couple of good looks. But where was that intensity earlier in the game? And Draymond said, as far as the effort thing, we can fix that, we'll be okay. Why do you need to fix the effort thing? And I'm not yelling at Draymond here because he always brings the effort. But why do you need to fix the effort thing in the friggin' playoffs against a team that nearly took you down last year and has a chance to do it this year and beat you 3 or 4 the regular season is your primary challenger? Effort should not be an issue for this team yet, and still, here we are in the second round, and they have those moments, those stretches, where they're not bringing the intensity the Rockets are, and the Rockets are playing like they want it more. And that's not surprising because they've come so close, they can taste it. They were, they make a couple of threes in the fourth quarter of Game 7 last year. They're in the NBA Finals. They probably figured they could have beaten the Cavaliers, too. So they're the hungrier team right now. So the Warriors have to reboot once again. After, they brought some effort at points in Houston, but not enough. And I can't believe I'm even saying that in the second round of the playoffs against probably your toughest challenger in the West. But that's the way it is, And we saw this problem against the Clippers. And Joe, I'm going to keep on harping about this until I'm proven wrong, how damaging Game 2 was against the Clippers and how they should have swept that. They had a couple of players, Clay and Steph, hurt their ankles in Game 6, a game that never should have happened. And they come into the Houston series, and they're fired up for the first two games at home. But, you know, they piled up minutes that they didn't need to pile up. And we have veteran players like Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston, for example, piling up those minutes. And now you get to a point in the playoffs where you're playing every other day. That stuff has a cumulative effect, and I'm afraid it's going to come to roost now. I would hope that, you know, here we go again with, you would think that the energy of the home crowd for what could be the last game at Oracle Arena will get the Warriors fired up for Game 5.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with the sense of desperation that the Rockets felt that the Warriors just didn't. And you're right. Yep. I mean, you would think that you just want to, you know, close out a team and get some rest for the next round. Instead, the team that played with more desperation and more heart, the Rockets, they've won two in a row. And it wasn't easy. I mean, they had to go to overtime there in Game 3. And then here in Game 4, the Warriors did make a nice comeback. But you said it. I mean, Tucker, to me, was the player of the game. Yeah, I know that Harden had 38 points, and he's always going to be the top scorer. He's going to be the guy that you look at. But Tucker, you know, with his 17 points, his 10 rebounds, you know, a little bit of his shooting, but just his toughness, the way he gets after it on the offensive boards. And he was the top player in the game, Ray, as far as plus minus. He was a plus 11 in the game. So I look at him, and he was kind of the quintessential player that you want to have in a game like this. The guy was just going to go all out, play most of the game. He played 42 minutes. He played the most minutes on the Rockets, you know, and the most desirable kind of guy to have out there, I think. And I just point to him. That's the guy that you want everybody to play like that, and he played that like that the whole game.
He was tremendous. He's one of those guys that, you know, I like to have in the foxhole. You know, as far as and I hate the war analogies, but in this case, you know, you're going to battle in an intense NBA game. You want somebody like that because, you know, what's one of the most demoralizing things in basketball? It's the offensive rebound. You work hard on defense. You think you've gotten the stop. They get the ball back. They get second chance points. That can be really deflating, especially when you're playing on the road. So, I think he was, you know, along with Harden, the player of the game, and Harden was great, and they couldn't solve him, you know, and he was bamboozling them from three-point range, and then that was opening up things as he drove to the basket. You know, it was a quintessential Harden game, and it comes down to, you know, making your threes, and you have the opportunity. What were the Warriors, 8 for 33?
Yeah.
So, you know, that was another part of it. You know, Steph had some big baskets late, but by and large, he and Clay, the Warriors' backcourt, got totally outplayed in Houston. Now, I don't, and it's not going to be used as an excuse because they're on the floor, but both of them are dealing with ankle injuries. And again, I go back to Game 6 against the Clippers. I'm going to keep harping on that. They could have suffered the injuries, you know, in another game, too. But, you know, that deprived them some rest that they really needed. You know, and then, of course, Steph dealing with the dislocated finger as well. But he's on the floor, and he played reasonably well. He played better anyway than he did in Game 3 when he was just awful, one of the worst playoff games I've ever seen him play. And there were times in this game where both he and Clay were in kind of a fog. So, yeah, all you can say is, hey, Game 5, they're always you know, crucial games because you're either closing out a series or you're taking control of it. You know, you better bring that focus and intensity. And I didn't see it at all times. And, you know, again, I go back to the second quarter in both of these games in Houston, and their bench got killed. They got absolutely killed. And here is where I think the loss of DeMarcus Cousins is having a big effect for a couple of reasons. I don't know how many minutes he would have played. It would depend on the matchups. But I would think he'd get some of those defensive rebounds that P.J. Tucker is getting, first of all. And second of all, he's another offensive threat. And so he may be working his way back. We got that news in the last couple of days. It's a possibility that he's back by the end of the playoffs, but I think the Warriors have to make the finals for that to happen. And Damian Jones may be working his way back as well. But in the meantime, the Warriors are down to a very tight rotation. When they go to the bench, now that they have to start Andre Iguodala, and I'm not against that, by the way. I think they need to do that against this Rockets backcourt. Then they go to the bench and they get nothing. And, you know, I hate to single out Sean Livingston because he's been a great story. Love the guy. He's been a big part of their success. But he's been a liability in this series. And I wonder if they think about going to Quinn Cook for a little more offense. He's not great defensively, but Sean Livingston hasn't been great defensively either. And he's no threat from three-point range, that's for sure. And he's not making his shots that he normally makes at his office, you know, on the baseline or the mid-range shot. A lot of those are falling short. So I wonder if Steve Kerr thinks about mixing things up that way and gets a little punch into the game with Quinn Cook, who was a pretty steady shooter down the stretch. Be one thing I'd look at. Other than that, though, there are not a whole lot of options left. Are you going to get Jurepko in there? I mean, he kind of hurt them in the times he's been in there as well. So, you know, it's down to like seven guys. They throw McKinney out there, and he's not very effective. It's tough. And the Rockets don't have, in fact, they have one of the worst benches in the NBA this year. But compared to what the Warriors are rolling out there now, that's another big difference in the last couple of games.
We'll have more Dubs OT in just a moment. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Your air conditioning system is a vital part of keeping your home a comfortable, happy, healthy place to be. A new or existing system is an important investment and will play a key role in your home energy expenses for years to come. Commercial and industrial customers also recognize Enviro's standards for excellence, which includes prompt and professional service. Enviro is known for its integrity and quality HVAC products and services. For your free HVAC air conditioning and heater estimate, call Enviro today at 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. Let's hear what Steve Kerr had to say after the Warriors' loss in Game 4 in Houston.
I don't care how many points the starting lineup scores or the bench. I just care how many we score versus how many they score. That's the only thing that matters. So I think both teams are doing what they're doing, and nothing's really happened yet. You know, it's 2-2. Each team has won two home games, so this is kind of how the playoffs go, especially when you got two great teams playing against each other. So we just got to be a little bit better, and we'll regroup and go home and try to take care of business there. I thought we played plenty hard enough, but I think, you know, force has to be accompanied by poise, and felt like we were in a rush offensively all night. And you know, we're at our best when we got a bunch of playmakers out there and the ball's moving, and we're attacking, but with the idea that we're going to get great shots. And I didn't think we got great shots for much of the night. I thought we were just in a rush to create pace, which, you know, the pace is good, but we've got to get better shots, and we're definitely capable of that. We got to be more poised, and that has to be a focus.
Kevin Durant also talked to the media.
Man, you got to give them credit. They came out and made shots tonight. You know, they made a lot of threes tonight. We were, you know, they beat us in the three-point, and that made nine more threes than us. You know, I think they're knocking down shots. You know, both teams are playing extremely hard on the defensive side of the ball. But it comes down to who makes more shots, you know, and I think that's what they did tonight. Well, from the three-point line. We're confident. We're excited for Game 5, just like I'm sure they are. And it's just going to be I don't want to keep talking about, you know, the details. It's just going to be a great basketball game.
Here's Steph Curry after the Game 4 loss.
Considering the situation, down 3 with a chance to tie it up. Just didn't go our way, but like the fight that we had, and you know, comes out of that possession. But over the course of 48, a lot of things that we can do better on both ends of the floor, give ourselves a chance to win these next two games. And you know, they did what they were supposed to do, protected their home court, and we got to do that again on Wednesday, and then you know, just continue to elevate our game.
Dubs OT continues right after this.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in San Rafael has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
Let's talk a little bit about what Steve Kerr said after the game. First of all, you definitely get a feel that he thinks this series, you know, is going to go seven, because he's saying he's not surprised. You got two teams that are pretty evenly matched. And the other part of it, he said that he thought they played hard enough, but they were in a rush to create pace. Now, I think both of us would disagree with Steve on the playing hard enough, especially defensively. It just seemed like there were too many times that they were allowing the Rockets to get easier shots. And, I mean, a lot of the hustle plays, you know, the offensive rebounds that we're seeing in this series, I mean, it just seems like, you know, you saw 17 of them in Game 3. You see 13 offensive rebounds in Game 4. Those are the kind of plays that make you think the Warriors are not playing hard enough. So, I mean, as far as what Kerr is saying, I think both of us would disagree with that. As far as the rushing to create pace and not getting great shots, I'm not sure. I mean, they're definitely not getting as many three-point attempts up there as the Rockets, and that's been a problem because, look, the Rockets had 17 threes to 8 threes made by the Warriors. That's a big problem, and that's going to continue to be a problem if the Warriors don't find a way to get their shooters hot. And, you know, that's definitely been an issue, like you said. I mean, if you got Curry going 4 for 14 and Klay Thompson going 1 for 6, that's going to be a major problem.
Yeah, when both Splash Brothers are struggling, you know, KD can't do everything. And, you know, he's been tremendous in the postseason. He's been historically good once again. But they got to get one of those guys going. Houston's been very good about denying the three closing out at the stripe. And I think both Steph and Klay are not moving quite as well as they have been. And Clay's an elite defender, should be all first-team NBA defensive, but I think his defense has suffered a little bit well. I rarely say this, but I think there were stretches tonight where Klay was rather poor defensively. He was out of position. You know, he fell for the pump fake on the three a couple of times and fouled Harden on three-point attempts, and I think Chris Paul on another one. You know, and then there were times where he was kind of out of it offensively, and he's really not gotten it going. And like I said, Curry was pretty awful in Game 3. He bounced back somewhat, but they're going to need more out of one of those guys, you know, I think, to support KD in Game 5. And they're going to need greater defensive intensity, too. And, you know, that sounds like an easy, quick fix. It should be, you know. But, again, it's like, all right, we're Game 5 of the playoffs. You're not bringing it defensively. You have to ramp up defensively? Wow. Because this is a team that's capable of it. They've shown they're capable of shutting teams down when they put their minds to it. But it's been an issue all year where they kind of drift. You know, and again, it's not surprising they're 2-2 through four games. I don't want to say that. I do think the Warriors are still the more talented team. When you look at, you know, the top end, I mean, Harden is tremendous. Chris Paul is going to go to the Hall of Fame. You know, I have some problems with aspects of his game, but he's still a very good player at age 34. I think he turned 34 today.
Yeah.
You know, they've still got a talent deficit compared to the Warriors, but they're playing harder and they're playing smarter too. So, you know, the Warriors have to bring some more focus, more intensity, more energy. And you can say, and I heard Draymond say it, if we do that, we'll be fine. Well, okay, do that. Don't just sit there and say, okay, we'll flip the switch and we'll be fine. But that's been the case all year. It's hard to break those habits in the postseason. So Game 5 is just such a game to break that habit once again.
More Dubs OT in just a moment. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Enviro's goal is to provide each family and business with the most energy-efficient heating and air conditioning system to fit their needs. Enviro is happy to provide a free estimate for your new energy-efficient HVAC system. Contact Enviro Heating and Air today to get an estimate and lower your monthly heating and air conditioning energy costs. Call 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. Let's go back to what you were talking about the bench not getting contributions, and you know, you were talking about the concern about Livingston and how much that really means as far as the minutes that Steve Kerr has to play as starters because he doesn't trust the bench. So these starters are playing a ton of minutes, over 40 minutes a game when you're looking at Green and Durant and Curry. So you wonder about the rest of this series, Ray, because they had those 3 days off and that was well and good, but now the rest of the series, it's every other day. So you've got that one day in between, and you're traveling back and forth, and you wonder if that's going to wear on the Warriors.
Yeah, like I said, you might see a few more minutes from Cook, maybe Bogut inserted for a few minutes, something like that. But you've got Andre Iguodala out there playing a lot more minutes than he did during the regular season. And, you know, part of that is the plan. He definitely has leaned on more in the postseason. But you look at Andre, who got his knee clipped at the end of the game by Chris Paul, and you look at Clay and Steph dealing with the, however much the ankles are bothering them. I don't know if it's 10%, 20%, or whatever. And then you look at Steph's dislocated finger, which hopefully, as time goes on, dissipates as far as the pain. But again, you're playing every other day now, and you're traveling. You're flying back and forth, and they got to go back to Houston. So yes, this stuff has a cumulative effect, and you know, this is where it would be nice if you could bust out to a big lead. But I do think, you know, just as far as the minutes played, maybe that has a little to do as far as fatigue and missing layups and some free throws, by the way. Not an excuse, but it's not surprising to see that with a team that's a little bit tired. Well, they got to forget about that now. And you know, what you worry about is toward the end of games, you know, where you're up to minute 40 with your guys. Can you sustain it now? You could say tonight, at the end of the game, they were pretty good. Game three at the end of the game, despite playing awfully for stretches, they forced overtime. They couldn't quite get it done. And I go back to a charging call that wasn't called against Harden, against Draymond Green, that changed the whole complexion of the end of game three. But, you know, I'm not going to sit here and talk about the referees. We've done enough of that in this series already. You know, that's something to look out for. How much gas is left in the tank with these guys?
It is interesting, though, when you mention the officials, because ever since the beginning of this series, you know, when you think about Harden and all the complaining that was going on, the Warriors have had to try to have some kind of a strategy for him because he has that step back three. They're worried about getting in his landing zone. They know it's sort of in the head of the officials because the Rockets made it that way. And I think they're a little psyched out by it. I mean, you know, they're getting some fouls called. They're biting on some pump fakes. And it seems to me like they have to make an adjustment on how they defend those threes out there. They don't want to be getting those late fouls, you know, late in the shot clock you know, fouls on a three-pointer. And those kind of things are happening. And those are really devastating to a team.
Yeah, I think that's been an issue in this series. And there were a few calls that weren't made in Game 1 where the Warriors absolutely defending Harden and Paul, for example, ended up in the landing zone. I think Klay Thompson a couple of times. And so, once again, it happened tonight, and the fouls were called. And Houston's going to keep trying to do that, you know, and it's worked pretty well. You're going to keep trying to push that envelope and get away with what you can get away with. But I think, by and large, the whistles were legitimate on that. There was one where Chris Paul's at the free throw line. I forget who was defending him, but he puts up the shot, and he just falls down after the shot, you know. And there's a little too much of that going, the soccer flop going on, but that's what Chris Paul does. And that's what Harden does to an extent, but, you know, also tremendously talented players, and Paul is still very physical and tough, and he does a lot of acting and all that stuff, and I hate that part of the game, but again, you saw Harden's talent tonight, how he's able to make defenders overthink the situation, and that's why I think he was smarter than the Warriors tonight.
He definitely was. And I think, you know, like I said, getting back to, you know, missed layups, I don't know if that's just sort of a lapse in concentration or just being unlucky, because there's just so many times. I mean, there are balls where you could just be dunking that ball into the basket and you're missing an easy layup. It was too many to count. I don't think I've seen a game like that for the Warriors this year.
Well, they had quite a few in Game 3, and there's one where Steph should have laid it up where he tried to dunk.
Right. Infamously, yeah. Right.
Yeah, that was pretty much the capper on that. As you said, not one of his finest moments. But, you know, for Steph, you know, there are a couple with the left hand that, you know, taped up. There are also ones with the right hand, including the dunk attempt. But it wasn't just him. So I don't know. I don't know how much you can chalk that up to, you know, having dead legs or anything like that. And again, a few of them were higher degree of difficulty, but you still don't see that many in a game from hardly any NBA team. There were just a bunch of them. I don't know what the final total was, but Steph had at least half a dozen in Game 3, and there were more than that for the team in Game 4. So that was definitely a factor in this game.
Here's another thing about this series. I mean, you look at the Harden eyes, the, you know, Curry ankle and finger, the Thompson ankle, you know, coming into the series anyway. And then tonight, Durant in Game 4, you know, his elbow was hurting him because he hit Harden on the head, and then Harden left for a little while because of that. You know, these guys are really getting banged up. This series has gotten to be pretty physical, and you go down to the last three games, and it's really going to be, you know, who's healthy by the end of it.
Yeah, and I think the physical style of play benefits the Rockets. I think that works to their advantage. I might add also James Harden on the follow-through of a three-point attempt banging Draymond Green.
Draymond Green, right.
Yeah, and I don't often see Harden's left arm following through in that direction, sideways. He's shooting a three. You know, he usually has textbook form, and the follow-through is going forward. So I found that a little interesting, and Draymond was saying after the game, "See, I told you, I get fouled by James Harden on threes, as much as people talk about him getting fouled." So, you know, this is the back and forth we're going to have, and how the game is officiated is definitely a part of it. But you got to think past that if you're the Warriors, and you've got to answer the call of the Rockets bringing it to you physically. And I don't think the Warriors reacted very well to that in Game 4. The game was, and I believe a couple of players said a post-game, "Hey, we took it to the Rockets in the first two games. And they hung on for close victories, including, you know, the controversial ending in Game 1. And here they had the Rockets take it to them, and despite late rallies, they had too big of a hole, and they couldn't quite climb out." So, you know, I think the first thing to look for, the very first thing in the next game is, are the Warriors going to come out and bring the same kind of an intensity they did in the first two games in Oakland? And I'm not just talking about the first quarter, I'm talking about the entire first half. And the other thing to look for is that early second quarter, does Steve Kerr alter the rotation somewhat and bring in some new blood? Because that's an area where they're just getting killed right now.
And maybe this team looks at it like sort of like what Steve Kerr was talking about when he said that nothing's happened. Because, you know, it's just like you start the series over again. And maybe these guys think that way, where, you know, they're not going to let anything bother them. And it is just like starting the series over, and the Warriors still have the home court advantage.
Well, this is what they worked all season for, to get the top seed in the West. And now's the time to take advantage of it. And they have not taken advantage of it at all times at Oracle. They lost two games to the Clippers at home. I don't think the Rockets have a whole lot of fear playing in that arena. They feel like they can go in there and win. They feel like they have a formula where they can beat the Warriors. And yeah, you look at it, the regular season and playoffs combined, they've beaten them 5 out of 8. So they're going to continue with their formula. But I think if the Warriors, yeah, you got to forget about what happened in Houston. It's done. You can control the next three games or maybe next two. And they've been a very good road team this year. I was kind of surprised at how poorly they played in stretches in Houston. Yet and still, they had a chance at the end of both of those games. So they got to say to themselves, we bring more defensive intensity. We cut down on their offensive rebounds. You know, we make a few layups and a couple more threes, and we'll be in better shape. But you got to take the fight to Houston in Game 5 on your floor and defend it, and make sure that's not the last game at Oracle.
Yeah, looking forward to it coming up on Wednesday. Well, Ray, we'll be talking about it after the series is over. We'll see how it turns out in this now best of three with the Warriors and the Rockets.
Yeah, and hopefully we're not looking at our last podcast next week.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.